The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and careers. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We are always glad to have you. Today, we're going to have one of our regular guests. We've got Evan Lester. He's the president of ClearanceJobs.com. There's a clearance job that you're looking for, whether it be government, whether it be government contractor, or whatever the case. If you have a confidential, top secret SCI, top secret SCI with a poly, then this is a place that you need to be. But also, if you're an employer, you're a contractor, you're a government agency, and you're looking for some good candidates, ClearanceJobs is one of those good, strong sites that has a number of different kind of tools that you can find some great candidates. Evan, as usual, welcome.
Hey, good to talk with you, Derek. Thanks.
Always. Hey, Evan, catch us up on the market. I mean, so much is kind of going on. We've got the new administration. What are we seeing in terms of kind of the cleared market right now, whether it be military or intelligence or, you know, diplomacy or whatever the case is?
Yeah, so I'd say, you know, as we start to get into the middle part of Q1 2017, you know, this is definitely a cleared candidates marketplace. There are more jobs than ever before. Candidates have their pick of jobs, even at the secret level. There's just a huge amount of opportunity out there. On the flip side, I think for employers, this is probably the most difficult job market that they will have ever seen. You've got a few factors in play that are really making it an extremely tight marketplace. So more jobs than ever before, not nearly enough candidates to go around. As we've talked about in the past, the overall population of cleared people has shrunk over the last few years. Recent numbers show that there's roughly about 3.5 million people with security clearance, and only a fraction of those are actually job hunting and interested in changing careers. So the other factors are at play are the fact that you've got a graying of the DoD workforce. You're going to have more people retiring in 2017 from the DoD than ever before. And unfortunately, still a clearance backlog, so getting new people into the system is not really an option. It kind of all boils down to a really, really difficult marketplace for employers and for federal agencies, and really the pick of jobs for cleared professionals.
Let me kind of break that down. You gave a lot of good information right there in terms of, and let me kind of maybe break it down in terms of a job seeker and maybe even for an employer. Right now with this whole market, and like you said, the grain of the cleared workforce, you know, at one point in time, people weren't leaving. Are we kind of seeing a trend kind of now? We're saying, listen, the economy's a lot better. People are starting to look to say, listen, I'm not going to stay with government anymore, or I'm also seeing some new opportunities. I've put 20, 30 into the government. I'm going to jump out and do some other things. Is that one of the pieces we're seeing with more of our kind of the older workforce?
Yeah. And there's definitely a few things there. I think if you look at the very end of the Obama administration, you know, had many, many months of job creation. Employment was doing quite well. Unemployment was low. So I think that one of the main things that we're finding in the cleared industry versus the non-cleared industries, particularly in tech and engineering, is that the opportunities in the non-cleared world are excellent, and they're paying well, in some cases, well above what a cleared person could make. And as you and I have talked about in the past, it used to be that having a security clearance meant that you could command a premium salary compared to the most equivalent, you know, non-cleared position.
Right.
But at this point, the non-cleared industries are paying incredibly well, and we are seeing cleared professionals leaving the cleared space, letting their clearances expire so they can go to work for companies like Amazon and Microsoft and Intel, Adobe, you know, Fidelity, Google. So, you know, a lot of opportunity in the non-cleared space. There's a few key reasons why people are leaving. I think the biggest one is pay, and that they can earn, you know, really good compensation outside of the cleared world. As always, the government and its contractors are a little bit behind, usually 3 to 5 years in terms of technology. So if technology professionals are interested in, you know, getting their hands dirty with the most current and up-to-date systems and technologies and software and hardware, they're going to find it outside of government. A lot more room for growth in the non-cleared spaces. And frankly, you know, we're finding a fair amount of people saying that they just don't feel like they fit in the new administration. So, you know, a lot of reasons that are out there. But, yeah, we're finding a record number of people are actually leaving the cleared industry, letting their clearances expire, and going to work for non-governmental type of agencies and organizations.
I'm going to have to break that down even more, Evan. But I want to talk real quick about, you mentioned about the administration. I mean, there's almost kind of two messages that people are getting out there. You know, you hear the administration say, hey, we're going to do a hiring freeze, and that's going to be across the board. Then all of a sudden, you know, you hear a bunch of agencies are filing for exemptions. And of course, they said national security is going to be one of those areas that they can get exemptions or may already be exempt depending on the agency. But then we also hear that there's this need for people. But then also the administration is saying, well, we want to increase the military. We want to increase certain areas, which is, you know, we're going to increase, you know, the immigration workforce, which is, a lot of that is law enforcement. A lot of those are cleared jobs, you know, the Navy cleared jobs. There's all these different messages going on right now. It almost seems like the job seeker would be confused.
Yeah. Job seekers are definitely confused, and employers, especially contracting companies, are to some degree as well. When the hiring freeze was first announced in January, you know, we did see a few weeks' time where employers were really hesitant to hire. They were wondering if their funding was going to come through. But as the current administration has noted, you know, national security positions should be exempt, and it's to some degree up to individual managers to determine whether they should hire or not. So I would say that, you know, from a candidate's perspective, if you are working for the DOD, for any of the intel agencies, for any position that requires a clearance, you should be exempt from any type of a hiring freeze. Most of the hiring freezes are coming from the non-cleared government workers at this point.
You know, with that, as we kind of think about, and you just mentioned, you know, it used to be that the clearance was gold, you know what I mean? And you just mentioned about people are letting their clearances expire, which, again, now this is creating this workforce shortage. Is the clearance and really kind of maybe just the administration, like you just mentioned, maybe the culture is changing, everything else. Is it just that government is starting, and maybe even government contracting is just starting to not look as attractive anymore? And even with the private sector, sometimes the private sector is providing a little bit more flexibility in terms of, you know, teleworking or working from home. You don't have to be at a clear SCIF. You can do, you know, certain things that maybe you couldn't have done before. Is that what we're seeing as well, Evan?
It is. And when you take a look at the industry now compared to 2010, 2012, 2013, in that time frame, you know, it was really difficult to land a job back then. We were talking things about the sequester and budget cuts and government shutdown, and the industry has completely flipped on its end. At this point, as you noted, the administration wants to increase defense spending by roughly 10%. There's going to need to be a whole lot of cleared people working for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. If this wall gets built, there could be a huge amount of people working on that project as well. So there's really a huge amount of jobs. There's a lot of pushes for cybersecurity talent. But I think the key thing to remember, as you were kind of pointing out, is that it's just not as interesting or exciting to work for government as it used to be. At this point, people are looking at jobs with the government as being difficult to get into, difficult to maintain. There are these threats, whether they're founded or unfounded, of budget cuts and reductions in certain parts of the government. There are lots of privacy and security concerns. The fallout from the 2015 OPM hack is still very fresh in cleared people's minds. And the way that technology has advanced is it's made it possible for people to join the gig or freelance economy and be able to create jobs for themselves and not have to worry about maintaining clearance, not have to worry about where their next paycheck is coming from. It's a uniquely different environment than it was just a few years ago.
Yeah, as we think about it, and I want to kind of go on this in the next segment. I want to talk about cyber, because cyber continues to be one of those areas, and we've had all this stuff about the Russian hacking and all this other kind of stuff. I want to kind of get a feel of where we are with that market, and that is that can still a growth market as we look at ClearanceJobs. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the he's a founder, and he's the president of ClearanceJobs.com. You can find their site at ClearanceJobs.com, as I just mentioned. They're a great site for job seekers, but a great site for employers, whether you're government or government contractor and you're looking for that right kind of candidate. They're out there on the clearancejobs.com website. But if you've got a clearance, whether it be a confidential all the way to the top secret to the ones with the polys, then you should also jump on the site right now. As Evan was just talking about, it's your market right now in terms of looking for a job. So you could have several different offers coming now, even at a secret level. So if you're searching for something new, this may be the time to do so. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been having a conversation about the job market, talking about the clearance job market right now, talking to one of our favorite guests, Evan Lesser. He's the founder and president of ClearanceJobs.com. You can find them, again, at ClearanceJobs.com. So it's relatively simple. Just go in there, find them. They've got a lot of great advice on their website. They've got a lot of good tools on there for the job seeker, and it's your market right now. For employers, you can find great candidates on there. Evan, you know, we were just kind of talking about how the market has changed, and now the number of employers are really kind of looking for that job seeker. Not as many people have clearances. A lot of people are leaving the market. You know, we keep on talking about cybersecurity, and we've had all this conversation about this hacking, Russia, and it doesn't really seem to be going anywhere. What's the market right now for the cyber, and I would just even say for the IT professional in the clearance job market right now?
So, you know, particularly for cybersecurity, the job market is just really, an oyster at this point. You know, whatever you want, if you have some certifications, if you have the desire to work for government or for contracting companies, there is so much opportunity in cyber. The government desperately needs cybersecurity professionals. These are people that, according to DoD regulations, need to have certain certifications. So, you know, as far as hiring freezes go, it's definitely not applying to cybersecurity. Now, every agency needs cybersecurity professionals, from the USPS all the way up to the NSA. So there's a huge amount of opportunity. You do need to be certified, but the government is making some good exceptions in terms of pay. They're able to come in at pretty healthy levels. I think many agencies, especially the DHS, understands that cyber talent is not cheap, and there's a huge amount of demand both in government and outside of government. They're going to have to pay to get those professionals in there. But, you know, for anyone that is trying to embark on a second career, or anyone who's starting to, kind of make their way through college and trying to figure out what they're going to do afterwards, cybersecurity reminds me a lot of healthcare. There's a huge amount of need. The need is going to go on for many, many years. Constant training and certification is going to be necessary, and the government has an immense shortage of talent.
You know, when we think about that, I mean, it just seems as if, you know, this is kind of, well, especially if you love IT, this is kind of the great baby that you've got kind of almost like 20-year, 20-30-year job security. Would you say that, Evan? I mean, almost, is it looking that way?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of job security, and what's interesting is that we're seeing some older professionals who might have thought, you know, maybe retirement in the next 5 or 7 years is appropriate, starting to see the opportunity and thinking, you know what, maybe this is a time for a second career. Cybersecurity is one of those things that you don't need God-given talent to be in. This is something where you can undergo training, you can undergo certification, and in a certain amount of time, you can be an effective employee in that arena. So, it is a decent choice for a second career for someone who's older, and really is a strong choice for someone who wants to get into that marketplace now as a younger professional and really have a long-term career.
Is the government doing anything, Evan, in terms of I know I've seen some things about some kind of partnerships with the private sector, especially when they say that we can't find enough workers, especially maybe some of the top tier talent, and they may not want to leave the private industry. Is there still talk of that kind of the maybe a sharing, you know, where some people from the private sector will go on loan to the government agencies and still be able to do some things? I know there were some unique, innovative ideas that were going around before. Is that still in the conversation loop?
A little bit, but not nearly as much as it was in the previous administration. So, you know, 5 or so years ago, there was actually quite a lot of activity around trying to partner with industry, you know, outside of government sectors to bring in cybersecurity professionals into government and see what government officials could learn. So, you know, there was a good amount of that kind of cross collaboration. Have not seen as much of it in the past year, but this is such a gigantic need for the government. I have no doubt that you'll see more partnerships between industry and government come together with regards to cybersecurity. Keep in mind, as you and I have talked about in the past, national security is not just defense or intelligence. National security revolves around things like our infrastructure, our banking systems, our food supply and safety thereof, around the internet. So, you know, there have to be very close ties between industry and government for national security, not just, you know, for that strict DoD cyber element.
Right. And with all of that, I mean, again, that also opens up that dynamic for the jobs in terms of, you know, whether it be a Verizon or whether it be, you know, a company that runs critical infrastructure utility, they've got the same needs that the national security apparatus. And what it sounds is like they're willing to pay a little bit more for those, you know, for those professionals who, you know, who will guard their networks and do other things. Is that right?
Yeah. I would say that's the case. And really what has not been done is to really take a hard look at how closely tied industry and government are when you talk about cybersecurity in general. You know, again, infrastructure, food supply chains, the internet, banking systems, everything is kind of tied together. And, you know, if a service like, you know, Google has some type of a huge intrusion, network intrusion, or goes down, that's actually a national security issue. If there are problems with internet connectivity, that's a national security issue. And the lines are pretty much blurred between industry and government and how one affects the other. And hopefully at some point that will get clarified and figured out.
You know, when we think about it for the other sectors right now, whether it be Intel or maybe even administration operations, is the market still pretty good for, you know, whether you're an accountant or another, you know, career field, if you still got that clearance? And then another question too, Evan, are we seeing that, you know, because the market right now has a shortage, are companies willing, of course we know federal agencies will clear people, but are companies willing to take on that more clearable candidate these days, try to get an interim or try to work with them to get them that clearance? Are you know, companies were very hesitant to do that because they had an abundance of people at one point in time. Has that changed?
It hasn't. Unfortunately, I would say that even though the need for cleared professionals is at an all-time high, the amount of jobs and opportunity out there is at an all-time high. Companies are very much unwilling to try to put someone through the clearance process. They're still eager to find people that have an existing active or current clearance and can put them to work immediately. If you take a look at the performance .gov reports from December of 2016, the average processing time for a secret clearance for the fastest 90% of them was 145 days end-to-end processing in 2016. And for a top secret clearance, 216 days for the fastest 90% for end-to-end, you know, processing. So it really isn't feasible for government contracting companies to say, you know what, we're going to pull someone off the street, we're going to try to get them a clearance and put them through the process. Larger companies may be able to do a pipelining situation where they have projects they can put someone on, but frankly, smaller companies, even mid-sized companies, don't have the financial bandwidth to have this pipeline of candidates going through the clearance process. At the same time, most candidates are not willing to wait you know, 30 or 60 or 90 days, much less 200 plus days to get onto the job that they were assigned to do. So there's a real problem in government right now with trying to make sure that the clearance process is sufficient enough to thwart insider threats, future insider threats, but also fast enough to not leave people kind of languishing and wondering if they're going to receive their clearance in a relatively timely manner.
We're talking to Evan Lester. He is the president of ClearanceJobs.com. He's actually the founder of this firm right here. Been around for quite some time, been doing some great work in this market space. Always very, very insightful, providing a lot of people really understanding of this market. If you've got a clearance right now, you are hot stuff. You know, you are the one of the people that they're looking for, because there's a shortage of individuals out there who have clearances right now. And that's all across, whether it be cyber, but all the way down to people in more administrative roles, intel people, and all the career fields in between. We're going to continue this conversation about what's going on in the clearance market when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the clearance job market right now. We've been talking about what's going on in terms of, you know, the hiring right now. There's a number of different kind of companies, whether it be government contractors, whether it be federal agencies, they're looking for people. Although you've heard about the hiring freeze, there seems to be a little bit of a disconnect in terms of messages a little bit that, yes, there's been a hiring freeze, but those in national security, those jobs that require those clearances, those jobs that deal with critical infrastructure or the military or special operations or cyber, they're still hiring and they still need people, especially those who have clearances. We're talking to Evan Lester. He's the founder and president of ClearanceJobs.com. You can find that website at the one I just gave you, ClearanceJobs.com. Great site for job seekers, but then great site as well for the employers who are looking for those right kind of candidates. You know, Evan, you mentioned two things. I want to talk about two things. One for the employer, but first, before we go to that, I want to talk about, you mentioned this, the timeline of clearances. I mean, things were, you know, at one point in time, me and you were talking and the timeline had increased, you know what I mean? Now you say increased, but it had improved. You know, we had clearances getting approved quicker. We had a number of different things. The market seemed to be better. Certain things changed. Now we've got the national, the NBIB, the National Bureau to investigate and everything else. And then I've heard about some maybe delays with that. What's going on with the clearances in terms of whether it be OPM, NBIB? Has there been a slowdown, and will we continue to see a slowdown? What's happening right now?
Yeah, so the NBIB is really trying to get itself organized after taking over the bulk of activity from the OPM. Now, granted, a lot of OPM workers are now working for the NBIB. A lot of OPM contractors are now working for the NBIB. But, you know, when the changeover happened around October or so of this past year, we knew that there was going to be some administrative issues, normal red tape, a lot of training going on. So at this point, I think they're really trying to get their feet off the ground and get moving. One of the key numbers that has come out recently is just the amount of people that are waiting for their security clearance to be processed, the amount of people waiting for periodic reinvestigations. So there's roughly about 350,000 people waiting for a secret clearance, and roughly about 70 or so thousand people waiting for their top secret clearance. Periodic reinvestigations, as far as Q3 of 2016 was reporting, is, you know, roughly around 160,000 people waiting for their PRs. So there's quite a lot of people still waiting, and I think we'll see those numbers go down over time. But as we've discussed in the past, it's always a quality versus quantity issue. The faster the process gets, the more likely we're going to have another Edward Snowden. The slower the process gets, the less likely people are going to want to sit through it, and the more issues that come up with regards to unstaffed national security positions. So there's a lot of give and take. It's surely not an easy agency to run, but hopefully there'll be some good improvements with the NBIB by the end of this year.
You know, this leads to what we were just kind of talking about, in just terms of people are just not patient right now. They don't want to kind of deal with that. And some people at this point in time, they're also saying they don't want to deal with the same level of scrutiny. And I mean, I'm sure the process has, you know, Snowden kind of changed certain things. We're looking for those insider threats. And, you know, now there's a lot more scrutiny. And you know, even when you get in, it just from the culture dynamic, are we kind of also seeing a culture change that people don't want to go through that level of scrutiny right now?
Yeah, they really don't. And I think as the workforce grays, at the same time, you know, we're seeing a huge number of millennials getting into prime working age. So by 2020, 75% of the workforce will be made up of millennials. And, you know, they have a very different notion when it comes to security and privacy. They have very different thoughts and feelings about how open they want to be. Some parts of their life, they're an open book, but other parts they keep extremely private. So how that kind of meshes with the need to have people be fairly open to make sure that they're cleared and can maintain a clearance, I don't think that hiring managers, both in contracting companies as well as government agencies, have really figured that out. There's a huge amount of information out about millennials and what drives them and how you speak to them and how you can hire them. And I think the government is a bit behind on that.
You know, and I was also thinking, I mean, we've just got a different kind of culture in terms of even, you know, the usage of drugs. I mean, you know, in certain areas, marijuana has been decriminalized or, you know, I mean, whether it be Colorado, whatever, but the federal government. And now you even also have a stronger stance with the new administration about coming back down upon marijuana. Again, some of those talented people, not, you know, we're not advocating for anything, but it's just there are some people who are in school and they want to kind of be a part of a certain culture. And so they're not going to even consider government as an option, but they may be your top cyber person.
That's right. Yeah. And cybersecurity in particular is really tough to convince someone to be able to obtain a clearance or undergo that process because, you know, a lot of people who have cybersecurity skills have done certain things that may or may not be considered, you know, completely
right.
Lawful,
right.
I should say, with, you know, with the training that they've gone through or the types of experimenting they've done to build their skills. That's something that's extremely difficult. But you're correct. You know, marijuana is just one of many examples of how the lines are blurred. And for people who the government wouldn't mind having them on the roster, it's difficult for them to want to play ball.
You know, when we think about the employer, and we were just kind of talking when we first got started, about the employer and what the what they're looking at for the 2017 candidate. What would you say from the employer perspective? What are they looking for right now?
So keep in mind that the difference between candidates in, let's say, 2013 and 2017 is really quite drastic. In 2013, the typical security-cleared worker, the average security-cleared worker, was unemployed. They were available. There was not much demand for them. They were generally unsatisfied with their previous work and salaries. They were security conscious, but only mildly so. Their wages were decreasing. They were fearful of things like budget cuts and government shutdowns. Now in 2017, you've got a very different type of typical security cleared worker. In 2017, the average security cleared worker has a job. You know, 75% of workers have a job, and they're okay with it. In fact, they're being fairly compensated. They know that they're in demand. They're generally satisfied with their jobs and salaries. At the same time, in 2017, the typical cleared worker is extremely security conscious, far more than they were in 2013. They're also very opportunistic. They're more than willing to jump ship at one company or agency to go somewhere else where the grass may be greener. So for employers, it's a different type of candidate. It's a different looking candidate, and they have to figure out how to speak to those people and recruit those people because hiring in 2017 is going to be an amazing challenge.
You know, let me kind of break that down, Evan, because you just kind of mentioned a couple key areas. And one thing I have definitely seen is the more kind of opportunity driven candidate out there that, you know, I'm talking to different people and they've got, three or four offers, or they get started with the organization, with the firm. And then all of a sudden they've got, you know, again, two or three people talking to them and then say, hey, we can give you a little bit more. You know, we can give you what you want. What is the upside of that? And what is the downside? Of course, the upside, of course, is maybe some more money, maybe a little better opportunity. But is there a downside right there, you know, for the candidate? Or does everybody just know that this is what's going on right now? And so people aren't necessarily looking for loyalty. They're looking for just more of the skill set and the clearances.
Yeah, you're correct. So there's always an upside. There's always a downside. It really depends on where you're playing. But as you mentioned, candidates in 2017 that have security clearance are going to be very opportunistic. Most of them are satisfied, but they are open to change. So for a hiring company or agency, you know, on the positive side, these are candidates that they are opportunistic. They are interested in hearing hiring messages. But at the same time, most of these candidates are employed, and attracting them and talking to them and getting their attention is a whole lot more difficult. One of the recent surveys that we did of security cleared professionals on the clearancejobs.com site showed that almost half, 47% of candidates have been in their job less than 3 years. And that really shows that there's a lot of movement and that people are surely interested in opportunities and definitely willing to hear them, but you have to be able to catch their attention. We also noted that 55% of cleared professionals are likely to change jobs in the next year. So one of the things that employers have to do is they have to take a look at their own staff and try to figure out who were the most difficult people to hire, and to understand that, you know, one out of two people is probably going to be leaving in the next year, and how do we retain that person? How do we keep them happy? And if they do go, how quickly could we hire someone to replace them?
We're talking to Evan Lesser. He's the president and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. They're providing some great insight on this market right now. There's a number of different changes. We're in a completely different ball game than where we have been in previous years. If you've been listening to this show for quite some time, then you've heard that there were times we were going through a very, very tough job market, sequestration. We had a number of different people who were having hard times finding jobs. If you had a clearance, now it's completely switched over. And if you have a clearance right now, you are the hot commodity, and you can kind of, and not necessarily completely name your price, but you can kind of name your price and kind of also have a range of different employers who you can look at possibly. We're going to keep on talking about this when we come back, about kind of the new job market in 2017 in terms of what employers are looking at in terms of candidates, and then what they're doing to retain these candidates and make sure that they don't continue to lose people to other competitors as well. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking to Evan Lesser. He's the founder and president of ClearanceJobs.com. Great website. If you have a clearance, you should be on this website. There's a number of different tools you can find in terms of just, you know, looking at your resume, articles, and other things of that sort. But there's a number of jobs on there right now. This is a market that if you put your resume up, you're probably going to get a number of different hits from different people who are going to be looking at you and want to talk to you, even if you have a job right now. Also, for employers, a good tool in order to find those candidates out there, because we know that you're looking for them. Evan, you know, when we're talking about this new, this 2017 kind of searching for the right candidate, you know, we were mentioning about that, you know, people are getting offers from a number of different companies. You know, how are companies trying to retain people right now? Or is that just a cost of business, knowing that I'm going to lose somebody in 3, 6 months, a year? I mean, what are employers doing right now? Are they doing bonuses? Are they giving kind of more quality of work life? What's happening right now in the market?
Yes, yeah, so there's a few things there to touch on. The first is that the smart employers understand that a certain percentage of their workforce will not be there in the next year. And it's one thing to just understand that. It's another thing to actually take action. So the action would be to essentially create talent pools of candidates, to be pipelining candidates, to understand who the people are that might be leaving and how quickly could we replace them. And one of the things that you can't do as a recruiting or hiring person in 2017 is cold call cleared candidates. At this point, 61% of cleared workers are actually satisfied with their jobs. The older the worker, the more satisfied they are. Cleared people are well compensated. They're happy with their salaries. They're happy with their jobs. So if you're cold calling candidates, you're not going to get that responsiveness that you might have had in the past. Keep in mind that, especially for ages 25 to 34, they actually send or receive 75 text messages a day, and the average office worker receives about 120 emails per day. So, you know, it's really tough to get in touch with people. It's extra tough to get in touch with cleared people. So smart companies are pipelining. They're anticipating who's going to leave. They're building up pools of candidates. They're talking to those candidates in a ongoing fashion. And they're, you know, reducing the need for cold calling. And they're making sure that, you know, when they do talk to these candidates, that it's a soft sell. It's not a hard sell. They're not throwing job descriptions at people. They have to understand as a hiring authority that it's going to take months to soften up a cleared candidate to have them respond to your hiring messages. They may not respond to the first, second, third, or fourth messages, but somewhere down the line, if you keep engaging them, they will respond.
You know, this kind of leads to an interesting situation maybe for even smaller, mid-sized companies. I mean, can some of these people afford to hold out, you know, especially with this new market where, you know, you're looking for a special candidate or you're just trying to get people on board to your firm? Can some of the smaller or you know, maybe the bigger ones can do it because they got these continuous contracts, but Can a smaller firm hold out in trying to wait for that candidate? Because I got to get people to work in order to start, you know, getting that payment in.
Yeah, I would say and argue that even smaller companies can't afford not to, you know, engage candidates and build up talent pools. One of the common terms in recruiting is firefighting. And firefighting is as it sounds. Recruiters come to their desks every day, and they identify what's the most desperate hiring need that they have, and they are going out and pounding the pavement and cold calling candidates and bulk sending email, and they're desperate to find someone. But that tactic can't be sustained over the long term. So for even the smallest recruiting teams, it's really important to start to plan for the future, to anticipate future hiring needs 6 or 12 months out, start building up pipelines of candidates, start building leads. Once you've identified the candidates that are critical and start pipelining, you have to engage them thoughtfully and continually. You know, understand that most of the candidates you talk to are happily employed. They're not going to be applying for your jobs. You have to move away from the hard sell and get to a soft sell. It's going to take months to soften up candidates before they're going to respond to your hiring messages. So companies that are dropping their candidates in Excel, sending bulk emails without adequate targeting, cold calling candidates, and really doing that firefighting activity, at some point there's going to be a burnout.
It's almost a turnoff for the candidate right now. Is kind of getting turned off by that approach. Did that also change with career fairs? They're not coming to career fairs as much anymore because there's no need. You almost have to kind of meet them in unique environments or kind of just really kind of get introduced to them through networking?
Yeah, totally. You know, the standard career fairs, I think are you know, attendance is down mostly because the market has churned. You know, in 2013, filling up a career fair was easy.
Right.
But in this marketplace, it's really difficult. And I think employers can't engage candidates in the same way that they have been in the past. Just reaching out via email or cold calling is not going to work in 2017.
You know, you mentioned about security focus, Evan. Is that a change in terms of how people are posturing themselves or putting themselves on like a LinkedIn or social media or a number of different things? Are people just kind of rethinking the amount of exposure that they have out there?
They are, and they have been for a while. But, you know, when you are a person who's in demand, you're going to really be less likely to respond to the types of messages that come in. One of the things that we found with cleared candidates in the last clearancejobs.com survey is that 22% of candidates said that they ignore all hiring messages from recruiters. 22% is really a huge number. So it's important for companies to realize that they have to engage with candidates outside of email. They have to figure out other ways to engage candidates, whether it be open houses, whether it be meeting them out and about, whether it's smaller groups. They have to figure out how to talk to cleared people in ways that are going to entice them rather than doing the blatant job advertisement.
We've been talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and president of clearancejobs.com, always giving us much insight. We're going to definitely have him back later on throughout the year, of course, to give more insight to see what's going on. I mean, this new administration has kind of been a little bit of a game changer in terms of the market. There's also definitely a game change in terms of the market, in terms of hiring. If you're a cleared candidate out there, this is your time. So take advantage of it, because we always see the ups and downs. But this is your time right now to definitely be able to get the job you want, the salary you want, and then also maybe get some of the benefits you want out of those things. Evan, thank you for providing this insight. We're going to definitely have you back to continue this conversation.
Good to speak with you, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.